I'd like you to turn with me, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew. Turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. And as you turn to that portion of Scripture, it is a joy for us to be here today, and I'd like to thank Rev. McClung for the invitation and the welcome this morning. It's always good to come back again to Newton Abbey and be in this familiar place. And we're just delighted to be here, and much has been said about the providence of God and being able to be here just at this particular time, and not only with Mrs. Boyd's funeral, but also the anniversary services of the church here. And I go back a little further. I remember in 1974 when I came into the ministry, I was placed by our presbytery as the minister of the student minister in charge of the work in Omagh. And that meant I was able to attend presbytery meetings. And I remember sitting in one of the presbytery meetings by Mr. Gervin and Mr. Cathcart, our late dear brother Bobby Cathcart, addressed the presbytery and said that they would like to move the work from White Abbey to Newton Abbey. And I remember that discussion that took place then. And little did I know then, being student minister in Omagh, that I would become the minister of the new work, as it were, in Newton Abbey. And so what the providence of God indeed is a wonderful thing. And you stand back and just marvel at it, and I just rejoice at being here today, as I said, this particular time, being the 60th anniversary of the work commencing in White Abbey. And it's good to see everyone again, and also to like to thank those who have come as visitors and those who came at special invitation. It was good to see you all again. Also, we bring you greetings from our work in Port Hope, Ontario. We're just about 60 miles east of the city of Toronto, and the work is still small. And if I had this congregation in Port Hope, I would be in revival. There's no doubt about that. But I think I've mentioned before, in the summer months, we have a considerable increase when we have quite a number of Dutch Reformed people who come in their holiday around the Port Hope area. And they started about 10, 12 years ago. And the word got out that there was a place that they could worship. And over the years, the numbers have increased considerably, so much so that in the summer months, of particularly August, we have a full house and sometimes an overflow. And the congregation, the Dutch Reformed people, we look upon them as an extension of our own congregation, and they're just delighted that we do look upon them that way. They've been very good to us. They supported the work tremendously well. And a couple of years ago, in the middle of the summer, of course, the church was packed out. We had no air conditioning. It was nearly 90 degrees outside, so you have an idea what it must have been like inside. But no bother to me. I enjoy that sort of weather. But as I looked down in the congregation, the sweat was pouring off some of the men, and I was apologizing to them. And they said, "Don't you worry about that at all. We're here to hear the word of God." But then one of the brethren said to me, he says, "Why don't you make an appeal?" And he says, "There are enough men in our churches that could install your air conditioning for you." So you talk about striking when the iron's hot. We struck when the church was hot. And I made mention that evening about this. And that evening we received gifts totaling $1,400 just on that one day. So we kept the building fund going. And as a result of that, and it's primarily due to the Dutch Reformed people, other gifts come in from other areas as well, but as a result of that project, we're able to install the air conditioning this past year, we're able to put down new carpet, and we're able to install new windows, because the windows were not double glazed, and they were in bad need of repair, and we're able to do all of that, and it's been primarily through our friends in the Dutch Reformed churches. They're very, very good, and they do appreciate the ministry of the word. And they're good people who, they never like to miss attending church on the Lord's Day. And many of them would have gone back home again so they go to their own church on the Lord's Day and then returned on the Monday. Some of them live 2 and 3 hours away from their holiday resort. And so they're just delighted. They've told us they're just delighted that there's a place they can worship in on the Lord's Day. And as I say, each year the numbers have increased, and we just praise the Lord for them. So we always look forward to the summer months. The winter months are a bit lean on it, to say the least. And especially got an email from our son Aaron last night to say that they're expecting a snowstorm tonight. That was yesterday and today. And it always seems to be the snow comes on a Sunday. And with a number of people who travel a considerable distance, so I know full well when I get up and I see it snowing, that my wife and I say, well, so-and-so will not be here today, and so-and-so will not be here today. And whenever you have a small number, well, every person counts. And we left Toronto Airport there, and it was about 7 inches of snow on the ground, and it was minus 10. So this was quite pleasant weather here. Even though we have to stand up to the rain, but at least it's quite mild in comparison. So it's a joy to be here, and my wife and I are just glad to be here at this particular time. Now we're turning to Matthew chapter 18, and we have just a short reading from God's Word. Matthew 18, and we'll begin our reading at verse 15. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? To 7 times. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times. But until 70 times 7. Amen. We'll end the reading at verse 22. We pray the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own holy and infallible word. Before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts this morning, let us unite in prayer. O loving Father and gracious God, we bless thee that we're in thy house this morning, this Sabbath day, and Lord, we're here to worship thee. We come, O God, with thanksgiving and praise, not only upon our lips, but in our hearts. And truly, Lord, we thank thee for thy faithfulness, for all the way that thou hast led us, for thy hand, O God, upon this work, from the first day until now. For thy blessing in the days when the work was in White Abbey, and then when the move took place to come here, and the meetings, Lord, that were held in Mossley Orange Hall, and then, Lord, in the old tin hut that we erected on this site, and then to the glory of God, whenever, Lord, we moved into the new building. How good is the God that we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power, and knows neither measure nor end. We thank you, Lord, for blessing the ministry of the Reverend McClung. We praise thee for him and for his stand. And, O Lord, for the congregation here, we rejoice in every remembrance of it. And now, dear Lord, we ask thee to come and abide with us now as we spend time around thy word. No gracious God, come and fill me with the Holy Spirit of God, that, Lord, I might be able to preach thy truth. And, O Lord, in the preaching of it, I might preach Christ. Speak well of him. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name and for his eternal glory. Amen. Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. And our text for this morning is at verse 20. Matthew 18 and verse 20. And there we read, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We have in the verses preceding our text a record of the first church meeting mentioned in the New Testament. You look there at verse 17. "And if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and as a publican." So this is the first reference to a church meeting in the New Testament. And as the Lord led me to this particular text in this portion of Scripture, I thought to myself, well, indeed, how appropriate, since we are remembering today and rejoicing in the first church meeting that was held 60 years ago down in White Abbey. Now, the reference here in this portion of Scripture has to do with a matter of church discipline, which had to be carried out by the church that the Lord referred to. And the Savior points out that whatever decision was made by the church, then that decision was recorded and bound in heaven. Now this shows us how closely heaven attends to the matters involving his church and the congregations on earth. We see that what takes place in the church is taken note of in heaven. And so there is nothing that takes place in the church that is ignored by heaven, that is ignored by God. God knows exactly what takes place in the church upon earth. The Lord then moves on to speak about the church prayer meeting. For in verse 19, the Lord said, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask." So the reference is to the prayer meeting. So he's dealing with the matters relevant to the church, the business that's carried on the church, the activity of the church, and then the Lord mentions the prayer meeting as one of the activities of the church. "That if ye ask anything, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven." And so with regard to the church prayer meeting, here we have the Lord exhorts the church to pray. For is this not seen here as an exhortation to pray? "If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them." It's an exhortation for the church to hold prayer meetings. Now here again the reference is, the prayer is mentioned following a matter of church discipline. Now what does that teach us? It teaches us that the church that has to engage in church discipline, that they not only pray about the matter before discipline is meted out, but prayer is offered following the discipline. Prayer before and prayer afterwards. And this also teaches us that the Lord expects churches to hold prayer meetings. He expects it. He expects these prayer meetings to be held in his congregations. For he says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask." Those words indicate to us the Lord expects his people to pray. That is very clear. Notice the words, "Again I say unto you." So there can be no argument raised against the church prayer meeting. "I say unto you." These words come from the Lord the head of the church himself. And surely if the Lord says it, it must be obeyed. And so you see in these verses that the Lord exhorts churches to pray, he expects churches to pray, and he also encourages churches to pray. Once again in verse 19, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. We could not be given a greater encouragement to come to the church prayer meeting. If ye shall ask anything in my name, it will be done for you of my heavenly Father. That surely is the greatest encouragement that any of us could have to attend the church prayer meeting. I read round about Harvest Thanksgiving time about a minister somewhere in England, and there was a photograph of this minister standing in his long white flowing robes, and there was a line up of people, a queue of people coming up to him, and he had promised that if people came to his Thanksgiving service he would give them £10. And there was a whole queue of people lining up to get their £10. That's how he encouraged them to go to church. We don't need £10 to encourage us to come to church. The Lord encourages us. That's encouragement enough. For the Lord says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. There's the encouragement. And we all have many things to pray about and to pray for. If we have no other needs, we have needs of our own selves, our own hearts, as Mr. McClung has already indicated. We have our ministers' week of prayer because ministers have needs. There is needs in the hearts of ministers. And if we have nothing else to pray for or nothing else to pray about, we can pray for ourselves. And so the Lord encourages us. And then he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How often have we quoted those words? Where two and three are gathered together in my name, the Lord says, there am I in the midst of them. And the first thing we notice here is the assembly. Two or three. Not much of an assembly, is it? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, the Lord here mentions two or three. And regarding this assembly, notice the purpose of the assembly. There was a reason why two or three gathered together. We're told that in verse 19 it was to pray, to ask. Two or three gathered together to ask. The Lord on another occasion said, ask, and it shall be given you. Luke 11, verse 9. He also said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And here's the Lord speaking about prayer. The purpose of the two and three coming together was to ask the Lord to meet their needs. Now you think of it. The purpose of the assembly was to pray. But what we have here regarding this assembly, it was just a little group, two or three. If one was taken away from that number, it would hardly be called an assembly. So isn't it interesting that when instructing his hearers about the church prayer meeting, he speaks about a gathering of just two or three? And we all know that in churches, the least attended prayer or meeting in the church is the prayer meeting. And I find it interesting that the Lord here, when he's dealing with a prayer meeting, a church prayer meeting, he speaks about two or three. He didn't speak about 200 or 300 coming together to pray, but two or three individuals. Yet the Lord makes it clear that where there are two or three faithful prayer warriors, the Lord says, I will be there with them. There am I in the midst of them. Now in small works in particular, and there's many of our works in North America that are small, including my own, it can be very discouraging. Very discouraging to have just two or three people gathering for prayer. You can imagine how Mr. McClung would feel if on a Wednesday night there were just two or three people gathered in the prayer meeting to seek the Lord. And so it is very discouraging. And whenever churches have small numbers, that's not very appealing to outsiders. I have had folk come to us and they've said that. They've been upfront about it. One woman said to me, well, I don't think we'll be coming back here because my husband likes to be in a large church. Didn't matter what they preached in that large church. Didn't like to come to us because we were a small number, a small congregation. But look at this, what we have here. The Lord says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. The Lord doesn't mind meeting with two or three. The Lord's not ashamed to meet with two or three. The Lord's not reluctant to meet with just two or three. He doesn't distance himself from a little company of God's people who've come to pray, even though that company is only made up of two or three people. Praise the Lord for who he is. Can you imagine what it would be like for that man, that minister, who would go to the prayer meeting and have only two or three people there, and be told that the Lord will not be there because the meeting is so small. It'd hardly be worthwhile meeting at all. But whenever we are discouraged and we go on a Wednesday night to our own prayer meeting and there's two or three people there, we still take encouragement because this I know, the Lord is here. The Lord is with us. Two or three, there am I. Praise his name. If you have a little group, two or three, there's also a listening God. It's not what the Lord says, that two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So we have a little group, but we also have a listening God. You see, we are living a day and in a generation of the mega church. It doesn't matter how you get them in. As long as you get in, get the people in, doesn't matter what you preach, doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you believe. The emphasis is upon the big crowd. The churches in America, and to get the people in, they have advertised, come tonight and see the minister swallow a live goldfish. Come tonight and there'll be a gift for you under your pew. You'll win a prize. And so it was on and on and on. Well, here we have an assembly, two or three. What brings them together? Is it to see some act by the minister? Is it to win a prize? Is it to be given £5? They come together to pray. And praise God that even though it's a small congregation, it's a small assembly of two or three, the God of heaven is pleased to listen to the prayers of just two or three believers. Isn't that great? That the God of heaven condescends, bows down his ear to listen to the cry of two or three of his people. When others would say, oh, I wouldn't want to go there. Oh, sure, there's only two or three meet for prayer. The psalmist has said in Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. He's a listening God. He's nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth, to all. So there's two or three and they're meant for prayer. The Lord's listening to the cry of each of those two or three. Some may feel that what can be, say, well, what can be accomplished by the prayers of just two or three? We may feel so isolated here upon earth, just two or three meeting for prayer. Well, the Lord says it is nigh unto all them that call upon. That's what you want, isn't it? You can have 200 or 300 people in a church building and the Lord's not there. The Lord has perhaps left that assembly a long, long time ago. But here we're told that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Do you know why the Father is the listening God? And why he listens to 2 or 3? Do you know why the Father is so interested in listening to the prayers of just 2 or 3 people? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord, his Son, is there. Having Christ guarantees the Father will hear. And the Father is listening. The Father can look down and he will see his Son in the midst of the 2 or 3. And he'll listen to their prayers and he'll answer their prayers. Because Christ is there. See, that's all that matters. Is having the Lord Jesus there. I remember when the Reverend Ivan Foster was in the work in White Abbey. I remember him telling me how discouraged he was some nights in the prayer meeting before the service. Service started at 7. He'd be in the prayer meeting by himself. Come to 7 o'clock and he was still by himself. He told me to keep looking out of the door to see if anybody was coming in. Not only for the prayer meeting, but coming into the church. People did come in. And the work went on. Because God answered the prayers of the 2 or 3. Because the Lord was listening to the prayers of just 2 or 3 people. You look also at the partners in this assembly. Speaking about this small church prayer meeting, the Lord says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, here we see that they are unidentified. 2 or 3. They're unidentified. We're not told their names. The Lord just says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name. The Lord didn't say where 2 or 3 preachers are gathered together. Or 2 or 3 prophets. Or 2 or 3 pastors. No. Just 2 or 3 people. But it sure isn't that how our prayer meetings are made up. We're all just ordinary people. Just ordinary people. As we would say, just ordinary 5/8. That's usually what makes up the prayer meeting anyway. Just ordinary people. Working people. Sometimes worried people. Sometimes weak people. We come to the prayer meeting with all our infirmities. Nothing special about us. We're just ordinary people. And the Lord says we're 2 or 3 ordinary people. Meet together in my name, either with them. There am I in the midst of them. We come to the prayer meeting. We come from different backgrounds. We come carrying different burdens. We come fighting different battles. We're just ordinary people. And we all have our battles. And we all have our burdens. And when we come to the place of prayer, and there's maybe only 2 or 3 of us there, the most important thing is the Lord's there. And the Lord's there to listen to our burdens. He's there to strengthen us in our battles. And he's there, no matter what our background may be, he says, there am I, in the midst of them. They're not only unidentified, but notice they are united. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name. Isn't that how it was in the church in Jerusalem and the day of Pentecost? Where we read over and over again in Acts. And I'm doing a study in Acts in my own church. And the number of times we have come across that word together. And there in Acts 2, and in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. There's togetherness. One accord in one place. Look at Acts 2 and verse 44. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. They were together in prayer. There was unity. And the Lord will be found in that group of people, that little assembly, where there are just two or three of them gathered there in unity. Christ will be there with them. We cannot expect the Lord's blessing if there's division amongst God's people. If God's people are fighting against one another and there's no unity, we can't expect the Lord to be there in the midst of them. And the Lord has told us that, for he has just said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We all are familiar with the words of Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that Aaron was anointed with flows down his head onto his beard and onto his garments, never touches his flesh. So where fleshliness is not to be found in a prayer meeting, that's where the Lord will be, because as Psalm 133 verse 3 tells us, there I will command the blessing. Simple, isn't it? And here the Lord says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Just a little assembly. But I tell you, believer, if those two or three are united in the bond of love and peace, and they're united in prayer, and they hold upon God, there's no telling what God will do through the prayers of just two or three people. Notice the place of the assembly. Note carefully what the Savior said. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. In other words, the Lord says, wherever they gather, if they gather in my name, there am I in the midst. Wherever. Where did the work start in White Abbey? Certainly didn't start in the magnificent church building. Started in a jail. What do you think of that? Some place to start a free Presbyterian church. But sure, our congregations have started in all kinds of places. But the Lord doesn't specify. He just says, where? In other words, wherever we meet. To pray, I'll be with you. We can meet together in a barn, as many have, and prayed, and the Lord's been in the barn with them. We can have two or three people gathered together in the kitchen, in the house, and the Lord's in the kitchen. We can have two or three believers gathered together to pray in a prison, Paul and Silas, and the Lord's in the prison with them. We can have two or three gathered together to pray in a mountain, and the Lord's in the mountain. We can have two or three gathered together around a hospital bed and pray, and the Lord's in the hospital. Or two or three are gathered together, wherever. The Lord says, there am I. I'm with you. The Lord was saying, wherever you choose to meet for prayer, in my name, I'll be there. Just as William Cowper wrote the words, Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Wherever they seek thee, thou art found, in every place is hallowed ground. Hallelujah. Yes, when they meet for prayer in that barn, it's hallowed ground, because the Lord's there. Just as it was with Moses when he saw the bush burning in the backside of the desert. Moses possibly passed by that bush many a time, but it was different that day. Remember what the Lord said, speaking to Moses out of the burning bush, draw not nigh hither, put off the shoes off from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. What made it holy ground? The Lord was there. And where two or three are met together for prayer, in a barn, in a prison, in a jail, in a hospital, it's holy ground. Because the Lord says, there am I. We press on quickly. We've seen the assembly. Look at the authority. And here is the key to having the Lord Jesus being in the midst of two or three. We meet together in his name. The Savior gives us the authority to meet in his name. and that he guarantees, and that guarantees his presence. Notice first of all the priority. The priority is we come together to pray in Jesus' name. That's the priority. It's not the building. It's not the numbers. It's having a people coming together in Jesus' name. That's the priority. Does this not mean that the gathering must be that of Christians meeting together as Christians to have fellowship with the Savior and with one another? They have the Lord's command. We come together to pray, even if it is only two or three, because His Word commands us to do so. You know, some people might get it into their heads, well, there's no point going to the prayer meeting tonight, there's only two or three there. The Lord just said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. All the more reason to be there, if there's only two or three. Because the words spoken by the Lord on this subject are numerous. He says, watch ye therefore and pray always. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Men ought always to pray and not to sin. Pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And you know the other thing? You look at all those references. Pray without ceasing. Watch therefore and pray. Notice, no numbers are mentioned. In these exhortations to his people to pray, he doesn't mention numbers. He doesn't say, watch ye therefore, ye 100 believers, and pray. He doesn't mention numbers, but he does mention gathering together in his name to pray. And when we gather together in the Lord's name to pray, the Lord says, I'll go with you. There am I in the midst. You have the Lord's company. Not only the Lord's command, we're to pray. Not everyone who prays will do so in the Lord's name. Certainly not the Romanists, not the Muslims, not the Buddhists. They don't pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Christians do. And the Lord says He'll be with those who pray in His name. For we have only got one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And it is in His name that we pray. And think of the privileged believer. He'll come and He'll meet with us. He doesn't meet with those who do not pray in His name. He'll come together and meet with us. If you meet together in my name, there am I. And so you have then the priority, meet in Jesus' name. You have the pattern. Come together in the Lord's name to pray. We come together and we pray in the Lord's name. There's the pattern. We meet in Jesus' name and we're to pray in Jesus' name. So as we meet in Jesus' name, that's how we are to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. We don't pray in the name of the church or the preacher or the pastor. We pray in Jesus' name. We'll not take time to look up all the references. But John 14, verses 13 and 14. John 15, verse 16. John 16, verses 23, 24, 26. In each of those verses, the Lord Jesus says, pray in my name. Ask in my name. And I will do it. Christ is the name that opens the windows of heaven. When we pray in Jesus' name, the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour us out the blessing there not for room enough to receive. What an encouragement that is. What a prospect. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's only two or three. Because the Lord says, I'm there. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I'll do it for the two and the three. Not encouraging. How encouraging is that? You have the power. Since the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most powerful name in heaven and on earth, there is no telling what two or three can accomplish for God. Think about what two or three men can accomplish in a prayer meeting. Well, look, you look at the verse 19. The Lord says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. Two. Where's the power of that name? The Savior told His disciples, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name and shall cast out devils in my name. Luke 10, verse 17, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The apostles preached the word and 5,000 souls were saved. The question was asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? And Peter replied, by the name of Jesus Christ. 5,000 souls were saved and converted to Christ, and they were asked, by what name or by what power have you done that? And Peter didn't say, oh, it was all me. No, he says, by the name of Jesus Christ. It's the most powerful name in heaven and earth and indeed in hell. Let us come together and pray in Jesus' name. I finish by speaking about the assurance. Here we have the words of assurance. There am I in the midst of them. Notice how punctual the Lord is. Notice how prompt, how willing. If you could use the word, how enthusiastic the Lord is when it comes to two or three meeting for prayer. Because he says, there am I in the midst. In other words, when we gather for prayer, our prayer meeting is on Wednesday night. And when we go up to the house of God and go into the prayer meeting, do you know who's there before us? The Lord's there. I may be the first to enter that church building and unlock the door and go in and switch the lights on, get the heat on. But there's somebody there before I got there. Because the Lord says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. I'm already there. The Lord's already in the prayer meeting. It's not a case of us going and merely waiting for the Lord. We go to the prayer meeting and the Lord's waiting for us. The Lord's punctual. Isn't that what he said in Isaiah, in chapter 30 and verse 18? In Isaiah 30 and verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto thee, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, and the Lord is a God of judgment, blessed are all they that wait for him. So in the first part of the verse with the Lord waiting. And the verse closes with us waiting for him. But notice the Lord waiting first. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I'm already there. I'm waiting for you to come to meet with me. That shows us the willingness, the desire of our Lord to meet with his people in the place of prayer. There's no reluctance on his part. He's waiting and his willingness. There were times the Lord prayed alone. There were times that he prayed with the 12, but here he says he'll meet with the 2 or 3. There am I. Never does the Lord show reluctance or refusal to meet with just a few of his people to pray. Regarding the mercy seat, the Lord has said, and there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Exodus 25 and 22. He says, I'll be there. His waiting, his willingness, his word. You see, the Lord Jesus is the perfect gentleman. His word is his bond. If the Lord says, I will be with thee, you can depend upon him. He'll never let you down. You may plan to go and hear a great preacher sometime, and you get into the meeting, and you're sitting there in anticipation of listening to this great preacher, and the word comes out, oh, the preacher's not able to make it. He's fallen ill. You're disappointed. You think to yourself, well, I've come all this way to hear this man. And he's not, I'm disappointed. That will never happen when you come to pray. You'll never be disappointed. The Lord says, I'll be there. You can depend on it. You can put your life on it. There am I in the midst of them. You have the presence of Christ. There am I. Come into the prayer meeting. You come into God's presence. What is it to be in the Lord's presence? In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I don't understand why professing Christians are so reluctant to go to the place of prayer. The Lord says, there am I. You come into my presence. In his presence there's fullness of joy. You spend a day battling with the world. You're cast down. You're discouraged. Your happiness is gone. Well, come to the prayer meeting. Because in his presence there's fullness of joy. You'll be a different person going out. You come into the prayer meeting burdened and cast down. Well, come to the prayer meeting. In his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Notice they're lasting pleasures. Evermore. You'll get enough pleasures and joy in the prayer meeting to keep you going to the next prayer meeting. There's the prominence of Christ. There am I in the midst. Christ is in the midst. Must be. He must be in the midst of our praying, must be in the midst of our praise, he must be in the midst of our preaching. In all things he must have the preeminence. Where two or three with sweet accord, obedient to their sovereign Lord, may two recount his acts of grace and offer solemn prayer and praise. There, says the Saviour, will I be, amid this little company, to them unveil my smiling face and shed my glories round. The Lord will shed his glories around those two or three who will meet for prayer. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. And you can depend on that. There am I in the midst. The Lord bless his word to our faith.